Have a good afternoon, can you name the number?
Hello?
Yes, sir, what's your name?
Good afternoon, my name's Angel Panesola, 099139.
Yes, hold on, the city is going to conduct you. Okay, the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis is going to conduct your hearing, sir.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Can you hear me clearly?
I'm sorry, excuse me?
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Yes, sir. It's Angel Joe Valenzuela, 099139.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation ruling regarding your community supervision.
Yes, sir.
This hearing is about the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on December 2nd, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Here, your attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing today. In the hearing room, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Mr. David Neal. My name is Luigi Yonis. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Turner, and we'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Good afternoon.
You also have a supporter in the room, I believe, Ms. Gina Villarreal.
Yes, sir. That's my fiance.
Very good. Now, I'm going to swear you all in the case that she speaks before the board today. So, Mr. Valenzuela, Ms. Villarreal, and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm, beginning with you, Mr. Valenzuela?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Villarreal.
Thank you.
Mr. Turner? Thank you. So, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. And keep in mind there's a separate motion that passes this hearing from phase one to phase two. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and we can talk about it, but keep in mind the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'll begin phase one of this hearing by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse their criminal arrangement company as follows. Violation of condition 12K as demonstrated by your failure to provide a urine specimen for testing on or about October 19, 2018 for the task individual testing compliance summary for the period of October 15, 2018 through October 21, 2018. Mr. Valenzuela, is this true or false?
That is false, sir. I did produce.
Okay. Based on your submission of false, we're going to take further testimony from our community corrections hearings officer and then ask a few questions before we vote to pass this hearing from phase one to phase two. So, Mr. Turner, if you will.
Yes, sir. On 10-19-2018, this offender was to report to task and submit a urine specimen for the task personal identification number PIN system. On 10-19-2018, the offender failed to submit a urine specimen as directed by PIN system for the task individual testing compliance summary for the period of 10-15-2018 through 10-21-2018.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Mr. Valenzuela, keep in mind we're only in the first phase of this hearing, so questioning will be short during this phase, but what was false about this allegation?
I did produce the UA. What I was done, you know, giving the UA, I sat the UA bottle on the urinal because we were in a bathroom. We weren't in the UA room. I guess because they were backed up. And I set it on the urinal, and the bottle slid off the top of the urinal, and it fell. So I reached down immediately and picked it up because we have to, expose, you know, our area. We can't just, unzip and produce. We have to unbuckle, lift up our shirt, and expose so that the, his name is David, can see that we are, not using a fake,
Okay, a device.
Device. So I did that in my, so I was holding my pants up with one hand, and I filled the bottle up with the other, and that's why I set it on the urinal so that I could pick my pants up, and that's when it slid off.
Okay.
I picked it up, and nothing really fell out of it. I mean, it was still pretty much halfway full, so I put the lid on it, after I pulled my pants up, and I gave it to David, which was the guy who took my UA.
Okay, Mr. Valenzuela, we're getting pretty detailed here, and we do want to hear the full story, so I'm not cutting you off that way, but we're in the first phase of the hearing. You'll have a chance to speak to the board in detail. Again, we want to hear your complete version, but I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to pass this hearing from phase one to phase two. So, based on the information provided to this board, warrant number 2018W3094A as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to fine Mr. Valenzuela delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed or criminal raised company, and that is my motion.
Seconded
by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, and the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Just 1 second. Okay, Mr. Valenzuela, we are going to continue with the second phase of the hearing. And again, you will have a chance to speak. But before we continue, we're going to take some detailed background information from our community corrections officer. So if just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly. And you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. We'll ask you a few questions. And it is during this phase that we will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. So Mr. Turner, if you will.
Yes, sir. Valenzuela was released from ADC custody on 9/20/2017 and arrested on 10/24/2018 by ADC on a tech violation. No new charges are noted. Was returned back to ADC custody on 10/24/2018 with a CSED at 5/21/2019, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2008, commitment I, count one, flight from law vehicle, 1 year, 6 months. 2008, commitment I, count three, misconduct involving weapons, 10 years. 2009, commitment J, count one, misconduct involving weapons, 10 years. Prior convictions, 1993, burglary second degree, 5 years. 1990, marijuana violation, 1 year, 6 months. 1996, marijuana violation, 2 years, 6 months. 1997, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. 1997, commitment E, count one, flight from law vehicle, 1 year, 6 months. 2001, commitment F, count one, marijuana violation, 6 months. 2001, commitment G, count one, misconduct involving weapons, 4 years, 6 months. 2002, dangerous drug violation, 4 years, 6 months. This is his fifth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3.3, mental health score of 2, substance abuse score of 3. He is a suspected member of the New Mexico Mafia of Arizona and self-admitted to being a member of the criminal street gang Southside Posse. Prior terms of supervision, 1996, home arrest release, arrested on new charges, revoked by BOEC. 1999, TIS release, arrested on tech violation, revoked by BOEC. 2002, TIS release, completed 2 months. 2006, TIS release, arrested on a tech violation, reinstated, absconded for 26 days, reached CCD in custody. 2017, TIS release, arrested on 4/11/2018, found in violation, continued on supervision with amended conditions. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with drugs, possession of contraband, and fighting noted. After his return to custody, the offender was found guilty of a major disciplinary for being positive in UA for 6 men, amphetamines, methamphetamines, and morphine. Other arrests, there were other arrests, however the charges were either not processed, dismissed, or not filed. Here's a GB score of G6, V7.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Just one second before we continue. Okay, Mr. Valenzuela, I'm going to make it quick as I can, review of your case supervision summary, but we do have a few notes here. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections with an approved residence at V-Ray in Phoenix.
Yes, sir.
On September 10, 2018, you completed V-Ray and were given permission to reside at 4465 West Kiwi in Levine, Arizona.
Yes, sir.
Did you find any employment while you were on community supervision status, sir?
Yes, sir. I had just, matter of fact, I just started working at Phoenix Customs. And it was probably like 3 days. I had just started working there. I also completed the classes that were set forth by the board. When I was released, the board sent me the V-Ray as well as the classes that were attached to my release. I successfully completed that with the certificate. I also, all my UAs were clean with the whole time I stayed with V-Ray and continue to have clean UAs. I have not had a dirty UA since then, and the classes were also a very big help to me when I did stay at V-Ray, and it was part of what the parole board stipulated on my release. And I appreciate, you know, the board doing that because it helped me with certain things that I wasn't able to use in the past that I didn't use now. Now I can talk to people, now I can open up. You know, if I feel like I'm going to relapse, I can call, you know, my brother, my sister, an aunt. You know, my aunt, she's real good on talking to me about things, and it helped me to open up and instead of relapsing, talk to people. And it was a big help, and I appreciate the board for leading me in that direction. I learned a lot there at V-Ray.
Okay, so we have programming notes. Well, first of all, I'm glad that V-Ray was useful. And I should just say up front and be direct that conditions were going to be very strict upon your return to the community because we voted to continue your community supervision.
Okay.
And it looks like I'm going to go back, kind of bypass some of this because there's a retelling of when you were violated the first time. But on May 24, 2018, you appeared before this board.
Yes, sir.
On June 1st, 2018, you enrolled in the V-Ray in Phoenix for 90 days. On June 4th, you tested positive. Now, this is after our hearing. You tested positive for THC at the V-Ray program. Since your release date, you submitted eight urine samples, which were negative, and we commend you for that. And then on September 10, 2018, you completed V-Ray. Again, we're given permission to move to that residence in Levine. And then, of course, on October 19, which brings us to this violation, you failed to submit a urine sample via task. Now, am I correct that you had a dirty UA inside the Department of Corrections upon your return?
That ticket has not been completed because the urine sample bottle, those were, they were, how do you say, faulty bottles. There was three of them that were faulty and had to be sent off. So I haven't even been found guilty of the ticket. They were going to be dismissed because of the bottle being a faulty bottle. I did test. The cup tested for everything, actually.
Well, thank you, Mr. Valenzuela. You certainly communicate your position clearly. I'm going to ask for a little bit of follow-up here from our Community Corrections Hearings Officer regarding your return to the Department of Corrections. Mr. Attorney, do you have anything in your criminal notes?
Regarding that UA?
Yes, regarding that UA and that ticket inside.
That showing is still pending.
Oh, it's pending, okay.
But the ticket, the urine sample collected on 11/27/18 and 19 tested positive for 6 mem, amphetamines, methamphetamine, and morphine. So it doesn't test for THC or alcohol, so it did not test for everything. It tested very specifically for those.
Okay, and just to gain a little understanding about inside the Department of Corrections, this there hasn't been a final disposition on that ticket yet.
It has not been finalized yet.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Valenzuela, let me ask my fellow board members, they have any questions for you. Are there any questions from fellow board members? Mr. Valenzuela, this violation's pretty specific to the incident on October 19, 2018. As I stated earlier, I didn't necessarily mean to cut you off. You were talking about what happened with the bottle inside of TASC.
Yes, sir.
I think you got to the portion where you said that you have to be witnessed, correct? Pretty much in the open.
Yes, sir.
All right, so did anything else happen?
After I, you know, gave the bottle to David, he said that he couldn't accept the bottle because it hit the ground and would be considered contaminated.
Okay.
And I explained to him that my situation, that I have zero tolerance, and if I can, you know, if I could please take another UA, you know, if I could be allowed to take, you know, use another bottle so that it could be accepted. He said that because it was already 8:37, it was already after 8:30, that I wasn't allowed to take another one. And I explained to him that I have to produce, you know, I'd have to, you know, there has to be an acceptable a bottle per my release. And he said, look, my name is David, talk to your parole officer, have them call me, I'll verify that the bottle fell. So I went and talked to David's supervisor, which is Veronica. Veronica told me the same thing. And I asked her, I said, look, shouldn't you make an incident report of the bottle falling? She said, the only time that we make an incident report is if you don't produce, you know what I mean? And there's an incident and you can't produce. I said, well, you know, and David verified that I did produce, that he just could not accept the bottle. So immediately upon me leaving there, I called Ms. Barava and I left her a message because she didn't answer, and I explained to her what happened. And I texted her over and over. I even called her on Saturday too and asked her, she could swab me, you know what I mean? You know, give a swab and send that in for testing. And that's what I wanted to do, was meet up with her, have her come to the house and swab me so that she can submit it for testing. But she never responded to any of my texts or calls. And I believe my girlfriend has the phone there with her. She could probably show you my texts from the date on the 19th, the 20th, the 20th, you know what I mean? On Monday as well. And Monday, when I called her at the office, because I left her messages at the office on Monday, numerous messages on her cell phone, and she never answered me back. So I then contacted Rich, which is her supervisor, and I explained to Rich, look, Ms. Barraza's not answering my texts or my phone calls, and I explained to him the situation that happened at TASC. Well, he says, okay, well, I'll try to get a hold of her, just come in on tomorrow morning, which was a Tuesday, so immediately Tuesday morning, I went into the office, and I guess that's when they immediately handcuffed me, and then I explained to them, you know, what had happened. So what they said was, that day that they took me back to Alhambra, we get you weighed there immediately upon going into Alhambra, right? As soon as we get dressed up, they send us to medical, and medical makes us UA, and they test us for STDs, narcotics, if we have anything, you know, in our system that could be bad for the general population, you know what I mean? So what Ms. Barraza told my girlfriend is that if that UA comes back negative, that she should see no problem with them, with me being able to come back home on parole. And even when they were taking me from the parole office to Alhambra, they actually turned back around and headed back to the parole office because they were going to notify ask the board if they can get a hold of TASC, or I don't know, but they were talking to the officers that were escorting me to Alhambra. So we had turned back around and we're headed back to the parole office, and then I guess they couldn't get a hold of who they wanted to get a hold of that.
Mr. Valenzuela, if I may, I need to follow up with Mr. Turner here, our in-house hearings officer. Mr. Turner, with respect to Mr. Valenzuela, I think there's some kind of holes in the time here. If there's a drop bottle, if you will, bottle tips over at TASC, is this pretty much the standard operating procedure as you know it?
I can read the note where Ms. Barraza contacted, and Ms. Murray can probably give you clear information on that. According to the TASC officer, John McLaughlin, it was confirmed that the offender did drop his urine sample all over the floor. And it was not allowed to drop another UA task because it was closing, because he went at the end of the day. So instead of going early in the day, he went at the last minute. So you, as far as the actual testing and stuff, Ms. Murray would have better information than I would.
Well, I'm going to be careful here, and then I'll ask you too. Is there, and again, with respect to Mr. Valenzuela, but is there some concern at task that people might intentionally knock over a bottle? Okay, that's just the piece I'm looking for. So, Ms. Murray, I haven't sworn you in, so I better swear you in right now. Do you solemnly swear? Well, come in front, yes.
Okay.
I thought you were going to use that mic for me.
Oh, I don't know.
It's all good. It's all good. Very good, very good. Again, go back to the, make sure that you sworn in. So, do you solemnly swear to, can you state your full name?
Keontae Murray.
And officer, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth to help you God and so you affirm?
Yes, sir.
And what can you show the board?
I was Valenzuela's original parole officer.
Yes,
before
ma'am.
His previous BOCE. So I supervised him prior to the release and going into Vivre. I also had an incident with him at TASC in regards to his UA. Where he provided a sample that was less than the degree that it was supposed to be done, which was, I believe, 85 degrees was his temperature, which is not clearly a temperature that could be produced through the body during a urine sample. So an incident report can be made. He made the statement that it won't be made unless you do not submit a sample, and they do incidents reports even when you submit a sample if they can't test it. So when his bottle is dropped, it is considered as a failure to produce a sample. And when we do our conditions, we advise them that they need to report to TASC with enough time to submit a sample prior to closing, due to the fact that sometimes, of course, when you get there, you might not have the ability to produce right then and there. So it allowed you time to sit, get enough time to produce the sample. And I spoke with Verizon. I told her I would come on her behalf as well because she's out for vacation. And she advised me that she also had a conversation with him and advised him that there are going to be strict conditions for him and he needed to produce a sample when he needs to and make sure he doesn't use any illegal or non, or like his marijuana if he doesn't have a card. So based off of that information too, he could have made the attempt to make it down in time. We also podcasted and verified that all his previous UAs, he went prior to close of business with enough, between an hour or more left to produce another sample if something like this was to happen.
Okay, let me ask again, and I'll back away from the accusatory tone, but has TASC had issues with people knocking their bottles over to intentionally contaminate in the 11th hour?
They do, and that's why they advise everybody to report in with enough time that if something does happen, you're able to produce a second sample.
Okay. That certainly gives me some insight into TASC's concern and as to why. Of course, it was already extra strict because he was being returned to community supervision, but also why it might be suspect.
Right.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions from fellow board members? Okay. One second, ma'am. You'll have a chance to speak. Okay. I didn't have any further questions from the board. Mr. Valenzuela, thank you for explaining the situation at TASC. And I think in Alhambra.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Villarreal is in the hearing room. So at this point, I would like to ask her to approach the podium. And pardon me, I recognize her using the camera. I don't mean to. I'm sorry, could you state your name again for the record?
Gina Villarreal.
And what would you like to share with the board then?
I just wanted to say that the reason why we were late that day for him to go test is because I had to be in Sacaton early that morning, and we didn't get back until about 4:30, and we had to, I had my son, and that's the reason why he was trying to call Ms. Barrett right after the incident at TASC. He was trying to contact her so she can come and swap him right away so we wouldn't have this issue. And she wasn't returning his calls or anything. I have the phone here and I have the text messages showing that he was trying to get a hold of her ever since the Friday at TASC. And she didn't contact us back. She didn't contact him back at all until they told him to come in the next day or the following Tuesday, I believe, to come into the office, and that's when they violated him and arrested him. But she was not, and that's the reason why he was trying to get a hold of Ms. Barraza so bad after the incident, but so she could come and swap him or give him another UA so he wouldn't have that issue. And she wasn't returning his calls or anything, no text message or anything. And I have the messages here. And he even contacted the supervisor, Richard Maynard, because she was not responding to us. And that's why he tried to get a hold of her right after the incident at TASC, and she didn't respond to him. So, I just don't believe that it's fair. And all his UAs have been clean since the last time we came here. So.
Okay. I don't have any questions for you. I'll ask our community corrections officers about the text traffic. I'll ask my fellow board members right now if they have any questions for you. Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
If you can approach the podium and state your name again.
Officer Murray.
Yes, ma'am, and what did you want to
share? Okay, in regards to his text message, be advised that, of course, he didn't go drive until about 8:30. Parole office closed at 5. It was a Friday. She did report to his residence on Monday, dropped off a violation letter, directed him to report. He failed to report on the day that the letter directed him, which would have been 10/23/2018. He showed up a day late, which was 10/24/2018. So if, in fact, that the text message did go through, when she reported to his residence on Monday morning, he wasn't there. No one was at the residence. So Barraza did leave a note directing him to report in. So in respect of him responding after 8:30 at night on a Friday, she wouldn't have responded.
Officer, I forgot to ask an important question, and that is that with him appearing before the board on May 24th, and then being continued on community supervision under special conditions, mm-hmm. it looks like that he had a positive for THC on June 4th. So was that okay under medical marijuana conditions or something? Or?
So when I previously had him on, to backtrack a little bit, I previously had him on supervision. I advised him multiple times to get a medical marijuana card. He had approximately 3 jobs in that process. And every time he got a job, I told him, hey, just go get a medical marijuana card so at least this issue could be nipped in the bud, because we were only having issues with medical marijuana. He gave me every excuse in the book on why he kept testing dirty from his ex-girlfriend, friend works there. But Barraza advised him he needed to have a medical marijuana card. Based off of the information and the time frame, he had to use marijuana in prison after his board hearing in order to test positive at V-Ray, because when I arrested him, it was for his methamphetamine use with no marijuana use at that time. He did test 4 days later for us, or was it? He tested, yeah, on 2 days later and was clean. So he can't say it was continuous use because it would have been out of his system. And even still, if he used before he was incarcerated, it would have been gone within 30 days. The fact of the matter that he got out and tested positive, he had to use while in DOC custody at that time after his board hearing.
Thank you, officer. I'm going to take further information from Mr. Turner.
If I may elaborate on that just a little bit.
Thank you, sir.
Task levels that we use are at a higher level than what V-Ray would use. So you could, they could technically test positive on the test that V-Ray used, but when we send them, our levels are a little bit higher, so it wouldn't test positive. So the fact that he tested positive for V-Ray but not a task, we would not find it a violation.
Okay. Well, that's, it's important to understand. Thank you, both of you.
I also want to state that he signed 3 different conditions for 3 different parole officers with the same stipulations from the board. So there isn't a question of whether or not he didn't know, and I know that his condition says failure to produce a sample or a testable sample. So he should, I mean, he would have been aware of knowing that failure to do his UA as a drop cut would have revoked him. Or
sent
him back, I should say.
Thank you, Officer. Okay, Mr. Valenzuela, well, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us. But this is your hearing.
Yes, sir.
Hold on a second. Let me finish. This is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before this board goes into discussion?
Yes, sir. I did do what Ms. Murray asked me to do, and I did get my marijuana card. It took time because I had to see a doctor, and then the doctor approved it, and then I had to pay the state tax fees on it, so I ended up having to pay that. And then once I paid the state tax fees, then I got approved, so I am approved for my marijuana card. I just haven't the state has to issue the card, which I'm pretty sure the card is at my house now, and they got mailed to the house. So I did you know, do as she asked, and I did get my marijuana card. And got approved for that. Also, when I was released,
I did not take lightly what the board asked of me. I walked on eggshells out there. I made sure I didn't miss no classes. I was on top of everything. That one time that I did go a little, you know, it wasn't all the time where I spilled my cup intentionally and tried to go late on purpose or any of that. Like my girlfriend said, the reason why we didn't get the paper from Ms. Barraza is because we were in Sacaton. By the time we got back, I got the paper and immediately called the supervisor. You could ask Mr. Rich. I called him as soon as I got the paper and explained to him that we were in Sacaton, and that's why I went in the very next morning, because it was already 4:30 by the time we got all the way back from Sacaton, Arizona.
Well, thank you, Mr. Valenzuela. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, especially because you're on the telephone, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I'm certainly open to the input of my colleagues, because we vote independently and we may be looking at this case through different filters, if you will. But it just seems, with the conditions being strict as they were on the continuance of his supervision and the way things unfolded near the end, especially missing the day, not just the question of the task issue, but missing the arrival time. And I also respect that the discipline process is not complete inside the Department of Corrections. I just feel that there are too many issues here that are suspect, but I am open to the input of my colleagues. Hearing no further input, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. And that is, based on the information provided to this board in warrant number 2018 W3094A, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Valenzuela was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lots or was about to lots of the criminal razor company, inasmuch that under the conditions of his return to community supervision, he failed to provide a urine specimen for testing, and based on further information that came to this board, did not comply with the dates requested by his parole officer as well, and that is my motion.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Lewis, respond by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Whitmore. Mr. Valenzuela, I certainly take no pleasure in this, but your supervision has been revoked, but you will be released on May 21st, 2019. I recognize that sounds like a long time away. It is actually less than 5 months, so we encourage you to take advantage of these last months. Just a question of weeks to put together a plan for your return to the community. You obviously have support here in the community. We do appreciate the testimony of your fiancé. Please pursue any programming that may be available to you inside the Department of Corrections, and we hope that you have a productive and safe return to the community. I want to thank everyone for testifying today. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. And Mr. Valenzuela, if you could, please give the phone to the CO3. Thank you.
Okay. Judah, I love you, baby. I'll talk to you tonight.